Okay, so we'll be continuing today our discussion and concluding, hopefully, for now, our discussion of Da'amaka. So, subject to what we discussed the last two chaburas, where one has an ability to be tola on a maka, we're not going to get back into that at the moment, but it's clear that if there's a maka in some internal area that's causing bleeding outside of the rechem, let's say a maka in the area of the cervix, so then you could definitely be tola on the maka subject to the rules of Taliyah. The question is, what is the status of a maka in the makor itself, in the rechem itself? The way to frame the question is basically, do we assume that uterine bleeding is only metame where it's part of the normal cycle, or will uterine bleeding always or almost always be metame, even if it's attributable to another source? So at first glance, it seems pashut that a maka berechem could be used as a taliyah, because after all, that is the lashon of Gemara in Nida and Daf Samech Vav, that you can tola the maka b'makor. That's what says in Shulchan Aruch here in Sefei, and the yesh maka b'oso makom tola medam makasa. What is oso makom? So the Shachir quotes in the Bach, oso makom means the makor, what we call the rechem. Even a little bit more explicit, if you look in the Pesachei Shuvah, in Sif Katan Kafes, he quotes from the Shuvah Maram Lublin, the same thing, that we're talking about a maka in the rechem itself. Nevertheless, there is a discussion among contemporary poskim as to whether this is a blanket dispensation. Is it subject to certain other criterion, or perhaps it's extremely limited to the point of practically being non-existent? And we'll discuss those positions. The Darkei Tshuva here in Sif Katan Nun Hei quotes a tshuva of the Dvar Shmuel. Dvar Shmuel in Simen Ayin Av. Dvar Shmuel was a tshuva sefer written, I think, in the 17th century, if I recall, in Italy. You have svarim sometimes that are most famous for one shita. No one knows anything else that's in the sefer except for one tshuva. So this is not the tshuva that the Dvar Shmuel is famous for. The tshuva that the Dvar Shmuel is famous for is what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in earlier Akronim, significantly limiting the application of karpef in contemporary cities, in Hilchas Eruvin. In fact, I was just walking out of the restroom about an hour ago, and as I was saying in Asher Yetzer, I heard a conversation among two people who are complaining about the level of difficulty of the fourth year halacha ma'isa b'china today. What's it, b'china today?
Yeah.
And one person was complaining that was such a hard test, we even had to know the Dvar Shmuel. So that's what the Dvar Shmuel is famous for. I guess he didn't know it. The Dvar Shmuel over here addresses the following question. What is the status of blood which is attributable to what he calls techorin b'rechem? So, we're not going to be talking too much about biology, and we'll leave that to, hopefully Dr. Levine will be coming at some point in the near future for him to discuss. But usually in Tanakh, we translate chorin as hemorrhoids. Hemorrhoids are not uterine. So when we talk about chorin berechem, you can't be talking about hemorrhoids, he means some other growth in the rechem, perhaps fibroids, something of the sort, which are growths that attach themselves either inside or on the surface of the kosei rechem, beneath or above the endometrial lining. So the question that the Dvar Shmuel was asked was, if you have blood which is seen in a woman who knows that she has these growths in her rechem, can you attribute the blood to those growths? So he writes, Shuma hamasavim osa makam din maki yeshla, that if you have a growth that attaches itself to the rechem, and that has the din of a maka. He says, otherwise, if you're not going to be makel in this case, then you can never be makel on dam min hamakor, because you never know what's what, and you should always be makor v'safik. The fact that there's an allowance for dam maka b'makor means that we're makel on these kinds of things. The way that the Tzitz Eliezer closest to Rav Shmuel favorably. It sits Eliezer in Chelek Yitzayin Simen Lamed Zayin, Chelek Yitzayin Simen Lamed Zayin. So this is a slight embellishment of what the Rav Shmuel says, but it's basically what the Rav Shmuel says, that any time you have bleeding, which is not attributable to the natural cycle, even if the blood is coming from the rechem, then that is called Dam Mata. This tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer was written to Rav David Cohen of Brooklyn, 1985 it looks like, 1985, addressing the question of the status of blood that may be attributable to fibroids in the uterus. So he writes that even though one could have said that maybe the bleeding of the normal uterine bleeding of a normal cycle and the bleeding of fibroids are one and the same, because they're all coming from the same point, but if you have a growth which is not part of the natural presentation of the rechem, and you can attribute the dam to that growth, then that is dam maka, which is subject to taliyah. If it has a presentation of a maka, then you could be tola on that maka. And what the Tzitz Eliezer refers to as re'ia normalis versus a re'ia lo normalis. Okay. In the Sefer Nishmas Avraham, he quotes also from Shlomo Zalman, who was of the liberal position on this matter, that anytime you have any kind of maka de rechem, which is motzi dam, so you have the right to be tola on that maka, even though the blood that is coming out is indeed coming from the uterus. That's how Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the Nishmas Avraham. Okay. The Chazon Ish's opinion on this matter is slightly more complex. The Chazon Ish, in his volume on Yerideya, Simon Pei Aleph, is of a similar approach to what we've presented so far. That basically, any time you have a Maka B'Makor, then you have the right to be told on the Maka, again, subject to the rules of Taliyah that we discussed. And the fact that it is uterine blood that's coming out doesn't concern us, as long as it's attributable to a maka and not part of the natural bleeding cycle. However, there is a famous site of the Chazon Ish, which I sent you as an email attachment, which I think was originally published in Hapardes, subsequently republished in the five-volume biography of the Chazon Ish of the Be'er Hador, and also excerpted in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Sakim on Refuah in one of the footnotes. The Chazon Ish here is referring, and I thank Avi and Yair for pointing this out, that this is the continuation or the precursor to a Chazon Ish that we had quoted in a totally different context early in the year when we were discussing the status of Zayin Nekiyim, sorry, the status of Chumrat Benos Yisrael, whether that's a minig or not, and whether it's shayach to ever be makel and that minig benos Yisrael under certain circumstances. So we referenced a letter of the Chazon Ish, which referred to a procedure of pumping air into the uterus. So that is the subject of this correspondence between the Chazon Ish and a Dr. Moshe Taub, a procedure that is not used medically anymore, called insufflation, which was used to determine whether there's a blockage in the fallopian tubes, so they would insert air, and then you could tell whether there's any blockage. Nowadays, the medical community does a procedure that's known by Rashi Tavis as HSG, which is inserting some kind of a dye into the area to make the same kind of determination. But the starting point of this conversation with Chazon Ish was about this procedure of insufflation, which could cause some uterine bleeding. So the question is the bleeding that's a result of this procedure considered dam maka or not? So the Chazon Ish, in one of his responses to Dr. Taub, writes that there are three different categories of blood that could come min harechem. So the first category is regular dam that comes as part of the normal monthly cycle. So that's simple. That's definitely dam that is going to be mitame. That's going to ask. Category number two, he writes, is dam haba shelo bizman habes, so dam that's not coming out during the expected time of the normal cycle, ayde ones, through some kind of ones, kamo dechika, pressure, o haka berechem, or a blow, a trauma to the uterus, hagorem nezila sadam, that causes bleeding. Similar to the bleeding that you'd expect to see when a woman gives birth or a woman miscarries. And category three is dam haba machma seret bu'or harachem. Dam that comes out because of a scratch in the lining of the uterus. So the bubbling out, the coming out of the blood, comes out in a similar fashion as it would from a wound in another part of the body. So the Chazanish writes, the first two categories, the regular dam of the regular vest, and the dam because of ones, dechik haka, mitzad halacha heim osim es ha'isha masrichim lahafsaka shel vaynikiyim utvila. So that is going to ask for a woman without any qualification. V'adam ha'shlishi tahor. In category three of the srita, that is dam tahor. That's dam that is attributable to something like a maka, which is not going to be metamis. Then the question is whether the dam that is precipitated by this procedure fits into category two or category three. Now, the precise distinction medically between category two and category three is not terribly clear. And as a practical matter, those who follow the position of the Chazanish, under many circumstances, are forced to be machmir because it's difficult to determine how exactly to define these categories. And it sounds like Dama Machmasar is some kind of a scratch, so then if it's coming from, you insert a speculum into the rachem and that causes some kind of scratch, so that sounds more like Damaka that you could be Tolan. But as Rabbi Forth points out in a long footnote in volume 2 of the Sefer, beginning on page 495, and the article that I told you, I referenced last time, Rabbi Eliezer Ben Parat of Lakewood, formerly of Ottawa, printed in one of the Asya journals, that it's not so easy to compare a wound in the Kosei Arachem or a scratch in the Kosei Arachem to other parts of the body because it's a lot more delicate than other parts of the body. So the standards aren't necessarily the same. Rav Avadia has a similar kind of distinction in one second, Gary. Rav Avadia has a similar kind of distinction. Yabi Omer Chelet Yud Yeredeya Simen Yud Zayin Chelet Yud Yeredeya Simen Yud Zayin. He says that even if you have a mak of the Makor, which is due to some kind of scratch that causes dam to flow out. So in that case, we're mako. It's only where the makor is nishkas, shenasa chalash verafui v'yosim en dam. If it's weakened and dam comes out, so then you have to be machmir. So I think Rav Avadia would have a larger category three and a smaller category two. It's not precisely the same definition, but you do have, on some level, similar categories. Gary.
Sorry, so why is the Chazanish in the letter different than what we've been saying up until now? Is it just because you have to be machmir between case two?
Well, no, because case two of the Chazanish, according to Shlomo Zalman, you could be mekola.
Of the like, something that comes from an like, ones?
Right, something machmas ones, machmas techifa. I mean, that's the question. You know, let's say this procedure insufflation. So the Chazanish ultimately is known to lahachmir in the final letter that is not printed in a pardes, but is printed in a Sefer Zichron Shaul, quoted in the Sefer Shulchan Shlomo, on page Kav Vav, I think it's volume 3 of the Shulchan Shlomo on Refuah. So there, he's no to Lahafmir, even though as far as the Chumra Benos Yisrael, he says maybe on that Nekuda you could be Mekel. But the precise definitions here medically because one could well argue that just about every time you have blood coming in a refem, it's on some level machnas dechifa or hakah. I mean, medically, I think Rabbi Forth points to that. Medically, in the medical world, people view, and when Dr. Levine comes, we can ask him about it, any external procedure that causes bleeding is viewed as a trauma. So the Chazon Ish, any trauma is really category two. So that's the difficulty here. Yeah.
In both categories, the blood's coming from the endometrial lining.
Yes. What's the difference? The difference, what it sounds like is if it's machma srita, so then it's a totally external cause that is like a scratch in some other part of your body. If it's a trauma or a hakah, so then there's a internally stronger source that's pushing the blood out, which is more analogous to the regular regular flow, something like that. Gary?
So, is, according to the Chazon Ish, hemorrhoids, is that like, is that?
Well, hemorrhoids aren't in the core, so that.
Whatever is in the core.
Well, so let's say a fibroid. Right?
Yeah, so is that more like something that happens?
Well, there are also different kinds of fibroids. Some of them are under the surface of the lining. Some of them extend above the surface of the lining. So if it's under the surface of the lining, then I think that's definitely a problem. Even if it's above the surface of the lining, if it's all, it's still coming out of the, of the lining, that may be more analogous to Hakka. You know, that Ben Perat discussed a little bit in the article. But it's difficult. I think those who accept these agos of the Chazon Ish tend to be machmir on fibroids. Yosef.
Anytime there's a maka, are we sure that when it comes out, it's not also bringing any other blood with it?
Right, so that's part of this discussion. Also, are we meaning those who are mako, let's say the first group of poskim, the Dvar Shmuel and the small citation of Zalman, the Chazon Ish in Yerdei Sem Pe'alef, they have variations of the following presentation, which is that if you're ever going to be machmir and dam barechem, so you should always have to be machmir because it's always going to be the case that it may be mixing with other blood. So it's all or nothing. And the fact that we have an indication that there's such a thing as dam barechem ikmitola must mean that it's all rather than nothing. Unless it's b'shas vesta, or unless she's already having a normal riya, then you can't be tola because you know that there's the regular dam tummy coming out. Okay. Just parenthetically, what we're not discussing here, which od chazal lamoed, when we talk about procedures that may induce blood, so the separate issue that needs to be discussed is ein sichas kever below dam. That if you're sticking something into the rechem, what's the shear of sichas hakever, which would make a woman tamei regardless, even if there's no dam. So that's a separate topic, which is not for today. But anytime you're talking about the gynecological procedure, that has to be part of the equation as well. Okay. Rav Schachter, as hopefully you saw if you looked at the small piece in the Gienas Egos, has a more restrictive position. Which is based on a Ragat Shavar. The Ragat Shavar in there are different editions of the Ragat Shavar's Tshuvas. So this is in the Defus New York, Siman Zayin. See, the Shaila the Ragat Shavar was dealing with was the pidyon aven status of a baby that is born through a forceps. So it wasn't a 100% natural delivery. You had to take the baby out with the forceps. So in the context of that discussion, he notes that the normal way, the definition, the normal hagdara of leda, of childbirth, is where the rechem pushes the baby out. So if you have a childbirth where the rechem isn't pushing the baby out, then that's not a halachic leda. In the particular case at hand, he says, well, even if you're sticking in a forceps, you're not sticking in all the way to the rechem. The body already naturally pushed it out of the rechem, you're just having trouble getting the baby out the rest of the way, so then that's still considered a leda. But the halachic definition of leida is where the rafam pushes the baby out. And by analogy, the Raga Shavar writes the same thing is true for the halachic definition of a ri'iyah, that a woman is a nida where there is dam that is pushed out by the rechem. So Rav Shachter says, based on this, that's talking about the din d'oraisa. The din d'oraisa is that a woman is only tmeya nida behargash, where she has hargasha, where the rachem is pushing the blood out. But if you have a maka of the rachem, so there the rachem isn't pushing the blood out. The blood's coming out, so to speak, on its own. It's not that the kolsei rachem are pushing the blood out. So there, that's not going to be Temeya min haTorah, but it would still be Temeya derabanan, like a Re'iyah below Hargasha. So parenthetically, Rav Shachter says, based on that, so you could answer along the lines of some of the approaches that we discussed previously, how do you have, what's Hargasha b'zman hazeh? So Rav Shachter thinks that Hargasha, in the way we presented it earlier, Sim and Siva, that Hargasha is simply an indicator that the Kosei HaRachem pushed the blood out, and that's evidenced by the fact that there's a Hargasha. So even if you don't have a Hargasha, but you know that the Kosei HaRachem pushed the blood out, because this is your normal cycle, so then maybe that's even a Nida D'Oraisa. So Rav Shachter thinks, based on this approach, that general Dam Min HaRachem is going to be Temeya Midirabanan, even if there's a Maka. Just parenthetically, the Raga Shavar in a different shuv in the Tzafnas Paneach, Simin Reish Tzadi Vav Osdal, he actually writes with a long list of cryptic marmakamos that I didn't spend the time to try to decipher, that if you have a Maka B'makor, then a woman's actually Tumeya Min HaTorah. Sorry, scratch that. He writes that if a doctor inserts a speculum into the rachem and that causes bleeding, then the woman is Tumeya Min HaTorah. L'chas v'shalom, l'hakel, is the lashon of the Raga Shavar. Yeah?
According to Rav Shachter, so we would say that she has all the Kulei Samen, if it's only...
Well, everyone would say you have the Kulei Samen.
So
what's
the... Is it, if she does it, like what?
If there's a Riyah, right. Okay. So...
He's learning the Gemara is not talking about it before.
Yeah, so that's difficult. How do you understand... Is there still some carve-out? Because Gemara does in one place actually use the word Makor. In the Shulchan Aruch, it says Osa Malkum, so you can, in theory, interpret Osa Malkum differently. But Sobolovsky has a different suggestion in his Sefer, in the English book, that to answer your problem, that maybe, as we alluded to, but didn't really discuss earlier, which we'll also leave for the doctors, there is a discussion in Poskim as to how to correlate the Mishnaic terminology, or the Mishnaic anatomy terminology, with our anatomic terms. So discussion is whether, when we talk about the Makor, say, is that only the uterus itself? Or does that even extend a little bit out of the uterus into the cervix? So there's the external ass and the internal ass. The internal ass is the border between the cervix and the uterus, and the external ass is further out. So Shlomo Zalman, I think, is the most famous proponent of the position that the halachic makor extends to the external ass, in which case you could have cervical blood, which is halachically considered makor, but is not part of the rachem. In which case, then, if you have a maka in that area, everyone would agree that that is a maka that you could be tola on, because it's not coming out of the endometrial lining, it's not coming out of the uterus. But that would still be part of the halachic makor. So that's what Sobolovsky is suggesting, as to how, even if you take the most restrictive position about dam maka b'makor, you can still have the hechatimsa of having Maka, which is subject to Taliyah. Okay. One of the corollaries to this discussion is the reliance on physicians and medical knowledge to inform our psak about the existence of a maka. So this is the undercurrent of Sif Ches here in Siman Kuf Pei Zayin. The issue that the Rishonim here are addressing is if a woman is going to be Roa Damach Tashmish three times, she becomes a Sirula Baila. So what happens if there's a doctor who's able to cure her or to create a situation where the dam will not be attributable to a problematic source and would be considered dam machmas tashmish, that could answer her. So the Beis Yosef quotes two positions which are reflected here in Shulchan Aruch, one of the Sefer Truma and others, and one of the Agosman Mivashem HaRitzvah. So the Sefer Truman, Simon Sadi Deis, quote on the Beis Yosef, suggests that it's okay to rely on a doctor as long as she wasn't yet Nuchzekes as Roa Machmas Tashmish. But once she's Nuchzekes as Roa Machmas Tashmish, a doctor is not going to help you to solve that problem, even if the doctor represents that the medical issue has been solved. And the presentation of Sefer Truma there doesn't distinguish between a Jewish doctor and a non-Jewish doctor. However, then the Beis Yosef quotes a position of the Ritzvah, which is quoted most extensively in the Tshuvas Maimonius, printed in the back of the Rambam. Tshuvas Maimonius in Sefer Kedusha, Yisurei Beis Simon Gimel. So the Tshuvas Maimonius there quotes that a doctor theoretically may be believable, you could rely on him as far as this particular issue goes. And he quotes a Yushanya that seems to indicate as much in a different context that a doctor has ne'emanus. But then he writes, we don't have the ability to be megal if the doctor is not Jewish, because about that we say, Asher PM Diber Shav. So this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch as two opinions as to whether there's a distinction between Jewish doctors and non-Jewish doctors. In Sif Ches, in Tirsa Lizrapos, if she wants to go through some kind of procedure to cure herself from the Roa Machmas Tashmish affliction, she had Kodesh et Tisfasek, so she should go through this before she's Muchzekes as having been Roa Machmas Tashmish three times. But after she's already Muchzekes as Roa Machmas Tashmish, Yesh Mistakim in Mutter Lismach Al Refuah L'Shamash Acherkach. So the first position, the Yesh Mistakim, is the same for Truma, who leaves it as an open question. And here there's no distinction between Akum and Yisrael. The Yesh Mishamatir in Amr La Rofe Yisrael Nisra Peis. And the second Yesh Mishamatir, the second opinion is the Ritzvah, that you could rely on a Jewish doctor. Okay. So what's the understanding of the Sefer Truma's position? So the Bach explains over here that the Sefer goes as follows, that if a woman is already in Muzakas to be Roa Machmas Tashmish, she already sees three times, so then she has Cheskas Issur. So the question is, what can stand up against that Cheskas Issur? So she has a Cheskas Issur. On the other hand, you have a doctor who, let's say, is a Rofe Mumcha, so he's Muzak as a reliable professional. But how does that stand up against the Cheskas Issur? So on the one hand, the Cheskas Issur should be stronger, and the doctor has no nemanis to remove the Cheskas Issur. On the other hand, the Cheskas Issur itself isn't so strong, because even if we're machmir to answer her because of Roa Machmas Tashmish, that still only means something on some level. Maybe the dam is min hasadin. Maybe the dam is from some other attributable source. So because maybe that Cheskas Issur isn't so strong, that's the side of the Sefer Truma that perhaps he could be makel to rely on the doctor. But the Sefer Truma leaves that as an unresolved question, which is the first day in Shulchan Aruch of Yesh Misha Stapik. Rav Avadia points out on the Taras Abayis page, Reish Nun Tes, in terms of Klali Apsak, so here in the Mechaber you have a Yesh Mishamat, you're followed a Yesh Mistapkim. So he thinks that's the standard Yesh Omer V'Yesh Omer, that Klali Apsak and Mechaber, if the Mechaber presents two positions as Yesh Omer and Yesh Omer, so then we follow the second Yesh Omer. So Rav Avadia thinks that the Mechaber means the Paskin like the Ritzvah, that you could rely on a Jewish doctor, even if she's already been muchzekes three times. There's a value quotes here from the Shlomo Kluger in a sefer on Nida called Mei Nida, that even if you take the sefer Truma's position, that Sefer Truma is not willing to be to rely on a doctor, even a Jewish doctor, if she's already has a cheskes iser. So the way Shlomo Kluger presents it, that's a problem of Eid Echa Neged Ischazik Yisura, that her status is the one of Ischazik Yisura, and then an Eid Echa does not have money against Ischazik Yisura. So that's questionable whether we actually see the way Lelacha, but even if you work with the assumption that Eid Echa does not have Neman, it's negative Ischazik Yisura. But he says, if you have two Eidim, then two Eidim do have Neman, it's even against Ischazik Yisura. So even according to the Sefer Truma, he says the Sefer Truma subject maybe is whether a doctor is stronger than Eid Echa. Eid Echa is the testimony of one person. But a doctor is more than one person. A doctor is a professional who knows the field. So maybe he has more nehemanis than a stam Eid Echad off the street, and even if he doesn't, so that's the suffix of the Sefer Truma. So Shlomo Kluger suggests that if you have two Eidim, two doctors, so then that's already a proper Eidus, which could even be motzi a woman from a cheskas tuma. So that's one possible suggestion here as well. Lemaisa, you can take a look at Piskei Tshuva and Sifchat and Lamed earlier, quotes a lot of Marmakomos on this, but the general position of later Poskim is that when it comes to doctors, there are other factors to rely on. There's the notion of Umen Lamar of Nase, there's the notion of Milsa Davide Lebluye, both of which allow us in Yaradeya to rely on the testimony of a Kfela, for example, Simon Sadi Fest. So just like in Isser Hetz, we rely on the testimony of a Kfela because of the notion of Umen Lamar of Nase. So here you have that, you have Milsa Davide Lebluye, because doctors are, if they're representing that there is a Maka internally, so that's something that is easily verifiable. They're presenting the they look through the instruments that they look. That's easily verifiable information. So that that they would have nemanus for. So for example, look in the Tshuvas Marsham, Chelik Aleph Siman Kav Dalid. So he presents things in that direction. And we are mako on, generally speaking, on relying on doctors, even if the doctor is not Jewish, because of the notion of Uman Lomar Nose and Milsa Davida Lugluye. There's some discussion if maybe this is only limited to a maka Hayadusha Matsiyadam or a maka that has a clear presentation. If it's a maka that's not as clearly Motzi Adam, or lower grade Maka, maybe the level of Nemanus for a non-Jewish doctor wouldn't be the same, but as a practical matter, there's generally what to rely on here, although especially if you have someone who knows the halachas as well, knows what's critical to look for, that could generally be helpful. Okay, so I'm going to make a slight change to the schedule going forward. I had previously told you to move on to Siman Kufay Ches, which we will do soon. But upon further reflection, I think we're going to next talk about Simon Kuf Sadi Gimel, which is a very brief simon, because that relates a little bit to the issues that we've been talking about. And then we'll go to Kuf Pei Ches, essentially spend time on Sif Aleph and Sif Beis, and you can run through the rest of the simon as we said. And then after that, we're going to move on to Simon Kuf Sadi Vav, and then we'll be going straight from Kuf Sadi Vav to Simon Resh. Okay, so we will reconvene in Rix Hashem Monday at 5:50.